sack by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Papa in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. When you look at the New York Giants of the 80s, it was built off a very strong draft class, none stronger than the 84 draft class, where Carl Banks was selected third overall. Pretty good for a guy that wasn't even invited originally to the NFL Combine. Carl, take me through the 1984 draft and what you were doing when the New York Giants called you.
Wow. Well, to take you through that draft would be to take you through my days in college where, you know, as a college athlete, especially in the Big Ten, you run home every summer to get the publication, Streets and Smith, and see who all the top guys are. And it was quite a year. Of talent, there was Wilbur Marshall, Refrigerator Perry, and Carl Banks from Michigan State's nowhere near the top prospects in college. So I says, well, I'm going to go out and try to have the best year I can have. And the college bowl games roll around. And this is when you know whether or not you're good enough to play in the All-Star games. And I wasn't invited to any of the college bowl games. So I'm like, okay. I was a little disappointed because I had just had one of the most phenomenal years in the Big Ten. And I was, you know, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And George Perlis called me in his office. He says, listen, I know it's been tough. Take it from me. I know you're one of the top linebackers in this country. So I go to the Blue-Gray game and I dominate it. I end up being the most valuable player of that game. And sure enough, I get a call from George Perlis. He's got, you know, invitations to this East-West game, the Hula Bowl, the Senior Bowl.
I remember seeing him down at the Senior Bowl, and the scouts were wanting me to look at him because they thought he might be in the mix for us to pick. But I only looked at him for 10 minutes, and then I didn't know. I remember I didn't want anybody to even see me looking at the guy again. So I never went back. The rest of the week, I was just always somewhere else. I might have been looking way across, you know, but no one would have ever known.
And to his surprise, on draft day, Carl would receive one of the most important phone calls in his life.
It's Bill Parcells from the New York Giants. And he said, I just drafted you. And I didn't draft you to sit you on the bench. And congratulations. And I was like, wow.
Teaming up with an already star-studded defensive cast in New York, Carl remembers what it was like joining the Big Blue.
I look at the New York Giants roster, and I'm like, okay, there's Lawrence Taylor, there's Harry Carson, there's Brad Van Pelt, there's Brian Kelly. All four of these guys are Pro Bowlers. So I'm just another guy in that group of great athletes at linebacker. But I think until we put the pads on, they really didn't know exactly what I was all about as a football player. And I show up to camp, and the first two guys I see are Lawrence Taylor and Harry Carson sitting right outside of the training room and introduce myself. Hello, I'm so excited to meet these guys. And I say, hi, Mr. Carson. Hi, Mr. Taylor. And they both just kind of stare at me. And Harry, as only Harry could, he looks at me and he says, so homeboy, what the hell are you going to do to get on the field? And I was like, wow, welcome to the big leagues. At that point, I knew there was a higher standard of play here in New York, especially amongst linebackers. And, you know, my first day in minicamp probably was the fastest day I've ever played football. Like, you know, from a game speed perspective. And I'm looking at Lawrence Taylor, I'm like, damn, he practices very hard. I mean, this guy's moving fast, and you get on the field, it's like jumping on a highway, trying to merge in, you know, 80 mile traffic going at 30. You gotta put the pedal to the metal and get right in.
Carl would quickly prove his worth to his Giants teammates making an immediate impact in his rookie season, appearing in 16 games and recording 3 sacks.
I got in there and I mixed it up with the big boys now, and I think that's when they realized that, you know, this guy's got a decent skill set here and he can play a little bit.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Carl Banks. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles.
Let's go, killer. This ain't gonna be no place for women and children now, I'll tell you.
Carl was a highly ranked player, and I watched him for about 10 minutes, and I said to myself, you know what? I want to get this guy on my team.
When did you get a sense that, you know what, this is great, and I'm fitting in, but we got a chance to be special here as a group?
You know, the interesting thing about that, Bob, is, you know, you forge great friendships. We built some great relationships. William Roberts, Elvis Patterson, Hostetler, myself, Gary Reasons. We had a lot of guys in that group, and we were all good friends, and we hung together. But the interesting part about the camp, it took a different tone when the veterans got in, because we were kind of the new group that Bill Parcells was excited about. But the old group represented everything bad that he needed to cleanse. Now, obviously, he didn't clean out the entire organization, but he became a different person when the veterans got in. And I recall after our first two-a-day, he called the team up. And this is probably as vulnerable as Bill Parcells has ever been. And he said, listen, I'm going to be fired if we don't win this year. And, I mean, he's completely putting his emotions on his sleeve. And he said, some of you are not going to be here after this practice. I'm going to clean this mess out, but I need to know that the guys who are here are going to be my guys. I need guys that are going to fight, because I'll give you everything I got if you give me everything you got. This was kind of the birth of the Parcells guys. The guys that I can trust are going to fight for me, and I'll fight for you, and we'll do this.
Benefiting from the tutelage of two of the greatest defensive minds the NFL has ever known, in Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick, Carl would become a key member of the Giants' feared defensive unit, known as the Big Blue Wrecking Crew.
The one thing about our teams, we were all tough guys. So we'd rather punch you in the face than to see you dance around us.
As you're getting through 85 and then you lose that playoff game to the Chicago Bears, did you get a sense that you guys were sitting on something big?
We got a taste of it in a wild card game against the San Francisco 49ers as to the level of play, how much better they were. So we come back the next year determined to be as good, if not better, than the San Francisco 49ers. But little did we know that the Chicago Bears, they were a pretty good football team too. And, you know, there were all these comparisons as who had the best defense. There was Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka versus Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, the defensive minds. And when we got into that playoff game, it was cold, it was bitter cold. We walk out, and the defensive linemen and the offensive linemen from Chicago, Dan Hampton and those guys, they're standing there with, like, barely sleeves on. I mean, they're cut up to here, and arms are bulging out, and they're looking crazy. And we knew going in that it was going to be a tough game. It was a battle of tough guys. Who's going to be the biggest tough guy? But they end up dominating us on the defensive side. Our offense just couldn't get anything going. And defensively, we fought hard, but we gave up some big plays too. We had some things that went wrong, punt that went awry, and we just had some mishaps in that game that didn't give us the best chance to win. And at that point, after that game was over, we knew there was another level our defense could go in terms of completely dominating a football game. It stung a lot because we still thought we were a better team. And, you know, they beat us, and we wanted to avenge that loss. And not being the baddest team on the planet, and the baddest defense, the most dominant defense, it bothered us because we knew we were really good. And so that whole offseason, we had a sort of silent mission amongst all the men, and that we were going to prove that we were the best team and the most dominant team in football. And we came back and started that journey.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Carl Banks. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Carl Banks.
Content. No, we're not content. No, we going there, we expect to win. That's what we're going there for. We're not going there to lose.
Oh, I know that.
Or going to Disney World. That's not what we're going there for.
86, we knew the defense was good. The offense struggled at times during the 86 season as well. Were you fearful at any point that, you know, we've got a lot of good components here to win, but we still may not win? We might not be good enough overall as a football team during the 86 season?
No, I don't think that ever crossed our mind. Now, you have to, you know, rewind back 2 years to that training camp I told you about, where Bill Parcells said that, you know, guys on this team are going to be my guys, and we're going to fight for each other. I'll do everything I can for you. You do everything you can for each other and for me. So over that two-year period, that whole mindset was forged. The irony of the offense struggling, you know, for guys like Harry Carson, it was a defensive team, you know, for a very long time when they had zero offense, but it was just a close-knit group. And then there was Phil Sims, who probably should have been a linebacker with his mentality. I mean, he wouldn't back down from anybody and anything. So there was no doubt that our guys would compete and they would figure out a way to do what it took to win football games for us, because the offense starts off great and there's a turnover. Before Sims could get off the field, somebody said, "Don't worry, we'll get the ball back for you," and we go out and get the ball back. Either we stop them or we get a takeaway. When I look back on it, when you can actually speak something or will something into existence, where Bill could come into a locker room and say, guys, this is a tough defense we're going against. We're going to need at least 3 field goals in defense. I need you to take the ball away twice. No, you know, easy said, easy done. We had a really good formula of guys that we knew what we had to do. And every component of team sort of manifested itself in that season. You know, special teams, you know, we needed guys to step up on special teams. I don't think I graduated off of special. You knew you graduated from special teams when you made it to the field goal team. I never made it to the field goal team. So I was running down on kickoffs. If we needed to make a play, it was nothing for Parcells to look over and says, "What we got going on punt team? Or who we got going on this kickoff?" And he started handpicking guys. You know, Lawrence is going down, running down as the gunner on punt team. He'd come to me, "You're the guy that's going to go down and bust up something." He had no problem getting guys, including Jeff Hostetler, to run down on kicks, to do whatever it took. So that was team in its truest form, because it was all about helping each other, helping the guys, being one of the guys. And it was such a great evolution of this group of guys, Parcells guys, that just were all for one and one for all.
Carl would help lead Big Blue to a magical season in 1986. After capturing the NFC title at home in front of their fans, Banks and the Giants would head to Pasadena for their first ever Super Bowl appearance.
Heading into that game, there was not one thing that I left unturned in terms of preparation. So when I got out, I was in tune, and there was just nothing really that they could do that was going to surprise me. So I was just zoned in.
With the Giants down in the first half to the Denver Broncos, Banks would come up huge when his team needed him most.
We're down there on the goal line, and goal line was kind of the ultimate test of your manhood. This was pride for us. And I remember lining up and I said, "I'm going to make this play no matter where it goes."
10-7 Denver. They're threatening to score again. Winder taken down at the 6. Banks.
I know that I had the best game of my career to that point.
Carr recorded 14 tackles in the game, and his outstanding performance helped the Giants return to championship glory for the first time in 30 years.
The Super Bowl champions are the Giants, everybody's dream in football. That one time you'll be there.
It was the culmination of a lot of hard work, and it was truly the fruits of your labor of 16 regular season games, your playoffs, and then this is it. It did top any other game we played. I mean, the championship game was great, but that victory in the Super Bowl topped that one.
Rest of your life, man. Nobody could ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did it.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Carl Banks. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Carl Banks.
They said the Giants defense was no longer.
I don't understand it. They said the Giants were dead.
Hey, they said we're done, baby.
Hey, I don't understand them.
They stuck a fork in us and said we were done.
Hey, San Francisco, they're back. We're back.
They're back.
In 1990, despite playing through an injury-riddled season with a broken wrist, Banks would help lead the underdog Giants back to the top of the mountain.
When I found out that I had to have surgery on my wrist, the first thing I asked the doctor was, what's the rehab? How long? He says, well, if you were a construction worker, you'd be out 18 months. I don't have 18 months. But I knew, I said, look, I want to get back and play. And as I progressed, I started to talk to the doctors, and I'm aggressive as can be, and I set milestones for myself. And by the end of the season, I was back. I had a cast on it that would, protect it from any further damage. But I knew I wanted to be there for the team.
Sims gets hurt. Hostetler's been pulling his hair out. Now he's got to play. Phil gets hurt against Buffalo. Jeff's got to finish it up. From the outside, the feeling was the Giants, they're toast. I mean, how are they going to get this thing done? I mean, Hostetler doesn't have the experience, doesn't throw the seam route like Phil. Internally, what were you guys thinking?
Never a question. The only time you really got a chance to appreciate Hostetler was in practice, because he had to play against our team. So we knew what his skill set was. And again, this was all a bunch. It was team. It was all about team. So if one guy goes down, the next guy knows what he has to do. It wasn't a matter of we hope. Well, we assume that he was going to do it. And when he stepped in there, he got the full support of every single player, his offensive linemen. They immediately embraced him, the receivers, everyone. So, and we knew he was a tough guy. That's one thing we knew. So losing Phil Sims, who was probably one of the toughest guys we had in our locker room, and putting Jeff in there, we didn't lose much in terms of toughness, because Jeff was a pretty tough guy too.
Yeah, you lost to San Francisco in the 84 playoffs. You beat them 85. You beat them 86. You had great Monday night games in 90. You guys lost to them 7-3 with Sims and Ronnie Lott's face. So here we go again. Round 12. Giants-Niners NFC Championship game. Would you rank that in your top one or two Giant wins of all time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We were a team that just didn't know how to quit. We just kept fighting and fighting, and that was the embodiment of what Giants football was about.
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peat.
They're getting on a plane, and instead of heading back to Newark, heading southeast.
At Super Bowl 25 in Tampa, Carl would once again shine in the spotlight, helping the Giants upset the Bills 20-19.
Giants have won Super Bowl 25.
Banks was named to the Pro Bowl in 1987 and is a member of the 1980s NFL All-Decade team. He retired from the game in 1995 with 39 and a half career sacks. And Carl will always remember the Giants' legacy.
Once a Giant, always a Giant means that you played for one of the best organizations the best ownership, and it means that you embody a sense of pride in putting on a Giants uniform.
The 1990 Super Bowl champion, New York Football Giants. Co-captain, Carl Banks.
Well, I just want to say that we appreciate this Giant fan base. You guys are the best. And when no one gave us a chance, you guys were with us. All of these guys, all for one, one for all. One man's fight was every man's fight. We appreciate you and thank you for the love.
Carl Banks had a chance to celebrate with his teammates in front of the MetLife faithful as the Giants saluted that Super Bowl 25 team on their 25th anniversary. But when you think of Carl Banks, you think of a great teammate and no better player against the run and one of the true Giant greats. That wraps it up for this week's show. Make sure you join us again next week for another edition of Giants Chronicles presented by New York Presbyterian.
This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com.